Welcome to Believers Academy. We're so glad you are joining us in this series, How to Pray for Others. You are studying Lesson 2. God has a perfect plan for everyone. To get the most out of this lesson, you can download the accompanying materials and use them for further study. At any time, you can pause to look up scriptures, make notes, and rewind to catch up.
Hello, partners. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to the Believers Academy Prayer Series. There's no time or distance where the Word of God is concerned. There's no time or distance in the realm of the Spirit. That means that the Word preached, as long as it's the Word of God, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or 100 years ago, it's as relevant today as it was then. Amen. So, let's get to it.
Studying prayer. Yesterday we began talking about the prayer of intercession. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this broadcast. We give you thanksgiving for it in the name of Jesus. We praise you and ask you to open the eyes of our understanding, fill our hearts and our minds with the Word of God, that we can know these things that you've given us in Jesus. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go back and talk some more about intercession. Let's reiterate a few things and catch up here again. Let's look in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. God said, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Notice that he's talking about where intercession is concerned, standing in the gap for the land, praying for the government here in this case, what he's talking about. In any study that you do concerning spiritual things, spiritual life, you're going to find the operation and the works of evil spirits. You can find it all through the Old Testament. You can find it in the book of Daniel. You find it in Ezekiel. You find it in different places. You find it in the New Testament, where wicked spirits in heavenly places come in to take over and enforce their will, which is the will of Satan, enforce his will on that government and thereby dominate the people. Anytime you find a bad government that dominates and hurts and exploits people, you're not going to find Christianity. They don't go hand in hand. Even if you find something that calls itself Christian, it's not in the likeness of God Almighty when it dominates and is bad government. The difference between bad government and good government is how the people are treated that live under that form of government. So, the democratic form of government is more of a godly form of government than anything that's operating in the world. But we can see through that when the just being a democratic form of government really is not the answer. It's how much that government allows God into the life of the people. And we can see the good years and the bad years where our government is concerned. Now then, let's take a look again over here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we read there yesterday. Let's go back and read that, and then we'll pick up where we were yesterday and go ahead with some thoughts about intercession. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, now this is the first of all order of your prayer life, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and givings of thanks. See, all of those are in order and they are proper. For kings or presidents, those that are in authority, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And frankly, when you see the body of Christ in any country, any nation, wherever they are, this one or any other, all get in an uproar and get disturbed and get discriminated against and sin breaks out in the church and all that kind of stuff, you can go right back to here. They're not leading a quiet, peaceable, godly, honest life is because they're not praying these prayers and putting this as first priority in their life. Now, supplication and petition comes, you remember we talked about that for some days, comes in praying for your family, praying for other believers. Talks about it in the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians, praying in behalf of the saints perseveringly. You're praying for your church. You're praying for the body of Christ at large. That's different from praying for the lost. That's different from praying concerning governments and so forth. Now here we're talking about praying for the president, the vice president. Now it's not going to do you any good to go, oh God, help the president, and then go badmouth him all day long because of what somebody said on television they don't know anyway. So we go by the word of God rather than by the way we feel about certain things. And I'll tell you what, sometimes that's not easy to do, particularly where intercession is concerned. And we're going to get over into that as we study this. And I want to show you how to stand your ground and not be moved by what you see or by what you feel or by what you hear, but be moved by faith in God's word and believe that God's healing the land. Instead of, well, you know, I prayed that for 2 weeks, Brother Copeland, and the Supreme Court didn't do what I wanted them to do. Oh, dear Lord, you really, boy, you hung in there, didn't you? 2 whole weeks, dear me. So we need to learn that this happens every day. And it's going to happen every day in your life. From now until Jesus comes, you are going to pray these prayers. Well, I don't know how to... Well, just hold your horses a little while because I'm going to show you how to do this and do that, at least the things that I've learned. I don't know everything. I don't know all there is to know about all this, but I have found out enough to know how to get certain prayers answered and so forth. And what I do know, I want to share with you, and as we share it with one another, I'll learn more and you'll learn more. Praise God. Now, prayer of intercession is a prayer of mercy and compassion. Jesus said, pray for those that use and persecute you. Now, that may not necessarily be someone that is not a Christian. Huh? Yeah, there's lots of fussing and fighting and carrying on going on in the body of Christ. That don't license you to go to the newspaper with it. That don't license you to go tell it all over the church. That don't license you to go around and, you know, I'm God's watchdog. Well, God don't need a watchdog. All you are is somebody going biting somebody's heel. I don't need that. That's a wrong attitude, and your prayer won't work doing that anyway. That's not a calling of God. To make a plea, an intercession for mercy for another to a merciful God. Praise God. Now, let me go down a few things here. You need to make some notes about this and remember these. I don't take time to go into them in detail, but remember these. The Word of God is God's part of our prayer life. So we need to know what the Word has to say about praying for the lost. We need to know what the Word has to say about praying for ourselves. We need to know what the Word says about praying for the government. We need to know what the Word of God says about prayer when we don't know how to pray or don't know what to pray in a certain situation. And it's not all exactly the same every time. Boy, I'll tell you, I'll tell you, prayer, if there was any endeavor that ought to be like your eternal spiritual career, it's to learn how to pray. And learn how to stand before God and stand before the devil. Praise God. We need to know what the Bible says about revelation, what the Bible says about strength in the Lord and praying for these things. We need to know what the Bible says about praying for our children. The Word is the seed. The Word is the seed. The Word, now listen, the Word is the seed that we plant in prayer. And the time we spend in prayer gives birth, gives growth, gives manifestation to that seed. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, the sower soweth the Word. So now, the Word is God's part of our prayer life. We go find the answer to the prayers before we ever pray them in God's Word. The promises of God. Now, why don't you let the Word fight its own fight? See, if the devil comes against you, you remember how Jesus did that? The devil comes in there and said, you ain't going to get your healing this time. You ain't going to get your prayer answered. Your praying ain't doing any good where the wild kid's concerned. Well, you know good and well, praying for those idiots in Washington not going to do any good. See, that's the devil talking. God's not calling those fellas idiots. God's not calling people like that idiots. The only difference between them and you is the fact that they're in Washington and you're there. I mean, you're just as dumb and stupid as they are, and so am I when it comes to doing things like leading a nation the size of the United States, dear God, particularly when you're trying to do it without God and you're doing it with all the influence of all these things around. They need to be held up before God. Let the Word fight the fight. The devil comes in there and says, they're not going to do it. You just say, it is written. That's what Jesus did. Give forth that thing that you have planted and use it as a sword against the devil and stand. Now then, you walk in the Word, you walk in the full armor of God and so forth. Now intercession is like petition and supplication in this area. Now it's two, they are different prayers. Petition and supplication are different in the fact that you pray petition and supplication for your own, for your family, not yourself. That's, you pray the prayer of faith and say it in the name of Jesus where yourself is concerned. But where your family or where the church and so forth is concerned, petition and supplication come in there. Intercession comes in praying for the lost, interceding, getting the ear of a merciful God, a merciful King for those that don't belong to Him. They still belong to the devil. And there's a difference there, but where they are alike is the fact that it is a prayer of mercy and compassion. It is a prayer of giving, not a prayer of receiving for yourself. It's a prayer of giving time and giving effort to intercede for that person or that place or that community or that person that uses or persecutes you, that kind of thing. It is a prayer of you giving of yourself. You don't enter into intercession just to have some sort of spiritual experience. Some people have the idea, boy, if I get in here and intercede and I pray long enough, I'm going to see an angel. That's not the reason you intercede to make any difference. You never see an angel. You see one of these days. You're going to live with them throughout eternity. They're there. God said they're there. So quit fooling around, looking for experiences and stuff, instead of going according to the Word of the living God. Now, you need to understand that intercession is an act of mercy and compassion to approach a merciful God with a plea or God said in His Word, He said, plead your case with me. Well, you go plead your case with God and let Him plead His case with you. And learn and study and work with Him. God, don't ever speak to me. Well, He might if you'd shut up a while and be quiet and listen and expect Him to. Now then, let's go on here. Intercession goes before the moving of God's Spirit. I'm talking about like in the areas of revival. I'm talking about I was out praying one time. I took several days off and just put my little tent together and gathered up my stuff. You know, I'm a woodsy person anyway. I just as soon live in a tree as I had a house. I get accused of some weird things, but my wife, my family, it's just the way I am. And I got my tent and stuff, and I went off out there in the woods and I mean, I was way off out in the middle of nowhere where there ain't anybody. A friend of my dad's was foreman of a ranch that had 67,000 acres. And I called him and asked him if he had a place where I wouldn't be in the way. He said, we got 3,000 acres over there in the soil bank where there ain't nobody ever goes in there. I mean, he said, it's just wild and grown up. I said, that's just what I'm looking for. And I went over and set my little tent up. And I was out there praying. And God began to talk to me about intercession and pulling down strongholds through intercessory prayer for others that don't know there's any strongholds to pull down. And it's sometimes these strongholds of darkness, you go in there and come against those things. It looked like it's not doing a bit of good because the guy you're praying for doesn't know God. He doesn't know how to pray. He's off out there and you're standing in his behalf. You just about get him good and prayed for and he go do some dumb, stupid something that just opens the door to the devil again. And sometimes it just looked like, well, this thing, it just ain't never going to do any good, but it does. And to make a long story short, while I was out there praying that, the Lord said some things to me about intercession. One of the most important, two really, really super important things is this. In order to be any kind of an effective intercessor, where you're praying for the government, praying for the Supreme Court, I mean, you know, you go pray for all those people and then they come up with some decision and you think, oh dear God, what kind of an ignoramus act is that? I mean, you know, my 10-year-old grandson got more sense than that. Well, now, wait a minute. In the first place, you don't know what's happening there except what the news media says is happening. They're only going to tell you what they want you to know. And most of them are in as bad or worse condition as the people that you're praying for, see? And so you get this all bungled up ideas of what happened. Don't pay any attention to that. Don't let that get into your prayer life. Don't order your prayer life according to the 6 o'clock news. Man, I mean, that's the worst thing you can do. So, another thing is, rely on the Holy Spirit. As you pray for those people, you are bringing God's influence into their lives. Then as you intercede for them and pray, you keep an ear to God. I was praying for some of my neighbors, and as God, at the time that I was out there in that out there on that ranch praying, I had been for some time praying for my neighbors, and God said, as you pray for them, He said that brings the Holy Spirit into their lives that otherwise He wouldn't have any avenue in there. But as you pray, you're opening the door for the Spirit of God to move in there. You pray the Lord of the harvest, get laborers across their path with the Word of God, and you keep an ear to God. He may send you over there. So you, as you pray, the Spirit of God, a lot of times you're praying for a family or a person or a community or a nation, whatever it is, there may be all kinds of agitation, get all stirred up. Man, the Spirit of God starts moving in there, and of course the devil sees it. He thinks, uh-oh. He goes in there and tries to stir everything up and tear everything up. But when someone goes and preaches the gospel there, that becomes the voice of the answer to the agitation that's been stirring everybody up over there. And when you preach the gospel, after intercession has gone forth and strongholds have been attacked in a nation or in a city, in a community, in the life of a person that you're going to go witness to, that it brings the Spirit of God in there to prepare that ground before you ever get there. And then we find in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, where the Word says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Now, people take that verse of Scripture out and just make it a catch-all for everything the devil does, everything that's bad, everything that don't work out. And that wasn't talking about the works of the devil at all. It was talking about the works of the Holy Ghost and Him coming together, taking hold together with us against these infirmities and so forth. What infirmities? Well, coming together, taking hold with us against the pressures of life, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought to pray for it. What? What we don't know what to pray for. Now, how are you going to make sense out of that? Well, I begin to pray for somebody like the President of the United States. I begin to pray for a leader. I begin to pray for something like that. I don't know what he's doing. I don't have any way of knowing what he's doing unless he were to come to me face to face and say, Brother Copeland, I need prayer here and here and here. I don't have any knowledge. I don't know what to pray for, and I don't know how to pray for it as I ought with just my mental concept of him, what's happening over there. I tell you what, if God didn't reveal it to me somewhere, I never would know. The news media don't know. Dear Lord. So, in the case of people that don't know God, they don't know themselves. They don't know how to pray for themselves or anything else. So, I am moving into an area of prayer where I don't know how to pray as always. You say, well, I don't even know how to pray where I'm concerned. Well, now, wait a minute. There's an answer to that prayer. In James chapter 1, it says, when you fall under temptation or testings or trials, as the Greek text said, ask God who giveth all men His wisdom liberally and upbraideth not. You're in an area you don't know what the answer's for. Man, I'm telling you, this thing just coming at me from every direction. I don't understand. I don't understand why my finances are in such a mess. I don't understand why what's happening over here. I don't understand what's happening. That's talking about you personally. And that is the answer to that prayer. That's not talking about this right here. Because I can go to God and ask Him for His wisdom. There's a situation in my life right now that I've prayed about and confessed with my mouth quite some time, longer than usual, okay? And I get a little results, and then it's just not working like it should, and I know it in my heart. So what did I do? A few weeks ago now, I prayed that according to James chapter 1, where myself is concerned, because I didn't know exactly, something is not working quite right here, because when I believe God, I get results. I pray for results. I expect results in my own personal life. And I've gone a while here without that results. The first thing I do is go check myself out and make sure I'm not living in some kind of strife and I'm walking in the love of God and repent for the junk and the crud in my life that would hinder my prayer life. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 3 that husbands ought to treat their wife as the weaker vessel. Now, it didn't say she was weaker. It said a husband ought to treat her like she's weaker. In other words, he ought to be delicate with her and he ought to hold her. I'm telling you, women are strong, man. I mean, spiritually, there's no difference between a man and a woman. But it says that a man ought to treat his wife like she is a weaker vessel. In other words, take care. And why? He said, because if you don't do that, and talking about strife between the husband and wife, he said, otherwise your prayers will be hindered. Oh, that's interesting, isn't it? No wonder so much prayer not working in the body of Christ since the women decided they're going to run things a whole lot of the time. And well, don't treat me like I'm a weaker vessel, that's God. And the man comes along and says, well, you know what I think about you, dear heart. I mean, you can go take a flying leap at a rolling donut as far as I'm concerned. You go, you know, and here we go, big fight and a big fuss. And your prayers are certainly hindered in a situation like that. Now, what I'm talking about here, every morning in my prayer life, I give thanks. You remember it said, and the givings of thanks over there when we read prayers and intercessions for kingsmen and givings of thanks. I said, Lord, I want to thank you for your wisdom concerning this situation that I've been holding before you. I thank you that you let me know, because I know you can't miss it. It must be me missing it somewhere. And I'm thanking you for it in the name of Jesus. Now, where I'm praying for these men of high authority and so forth are interceding for the lost and interceding in situations where I don't know what those situations are. It says the Holy Ghost will get in it with me and make intercession for me, for He'll search the heart of God and make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God. The Spirit of God begins to work. The name of Jesus begins to work. The power of God begins to work. The gifts of the Spirit begin to work. To do what? Change that situation and bring them to God. Change that government. He knows what's going on in there. They ain't hiding anything from Him. Say, well, how do you do that? Well, you do it in prayer. You do it in the Word. You also do it in praying in other tongues. Now, that's an area of prayer we hadn't talked about yet. I'm going to. Before we get through here, we're going to discuss that. Oh, Brother Copeland, our denomination. Tongues don't have anything to do with denominations. Some people have based denominations on them, but it's not anything to base a denomination on. that praying in the Spirit is prayer that comes out of your spirit by the Holy Spirit, bypassing the smallness and the limitedness of your intellect to pray and walk before God in areas you don't know anything about. And that's those times when God wakes you up in the middle of the night and you know not what to pray for as you ought, but you know, dear God, I got to pray. I have to pray. How am I going to pray? I don't know what to pray for. Pray in the Spirit. Well, Brother Coleman, I don't know how to do that. Well, just do it by faith. Say, thank God, I need that. I want that. And so in the name of Jesus, I receive that. Father, I pray today concerning this television audience. I hold them up to you right now in the name of Jesus. And all of those, Father, that have never prayed in the Spirit. I'm not making this a point of contention, Father, but I can see why the devil has fought it like he has, because it is such a source of prayer connection and prayer power. Every born-again believer in the sound of my voice, Father, that has never prayed in other tongues or in a tongue that's not knowledgeable to their mind, I'm asking you to rise up within them and allow it to flow right now. In Jesus' name, open the eyes of their understanding concerning it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Whoa, now wait a minute. You ain't done yet. There's more in this series, so don't miss out. And don't try to jump around. Yeah, but I want... No. Just watch each and every lesson and learn and pray and pray and learn. And then learn and pray and pray and learn. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for studying with us today. Please join us for the next lesson.